is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Jerry Buckley from Bishop County High School in Jacksonville, Florida, and you are listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new FastDraw and FastScout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off FastDraw and FastScout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Linsing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight. And we are going to talk some NBA.
I was almost going to duck you like Embiid tonight, Mike.
That's right. You were going to duck out on me, man. Just like it's been 4 years. He hasn't played in Denver in 4 years, man.
I did not realize that until did I send you the video that I saw? I saw a video on the Twitter, which is X, but we're just calling it Twitter, right?
Yeah, we're calling it Twitter. I refuse to call it X.
Okay. There was a video of, it said highlights of Joel Embiid since 2019. It was just him stretching and shooting shots. Did you see that video or no?
No, I did not.
I did not, but
that's a good one. That's a good one. What's hilarious to me is that all the national commentary is right. That was he really hurt? And then did he have to fake sitting out another game in order to prove that he was really injured, and then maybe he had to come back and play terrible like he is tonight, where I think we're in the third quarter here against Golden State and he's 4 of 16 from the floor at this point. So yes. Is he going to play enough games? Is he going to play? I don't think he's going to play enough games.
I don't think he's going to play enough games. I don't think
so. Last week we were sitting here and we were talking about the 70-point game and the historic scoring season and how great he's been. And then we're sitting here where we are this week, where people are questioning whether or not he was really hurt. There's all the ducking Jokic hasn't played in Denver in 4 years talk. Then he sits out another game. Now tonight he's back. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's already missed 12 games, which means he has 5 more games left in his bag.
Well,
to play
I think that was not including the second game he missed, right? Because Simmons was that Saturday? Did they have that triple header on Saturday? That triple header was on Saturday.
Saturday.
And then he missed. Did he miss yesterday's game or did he miss Sunday's game?
This is his first game back, I believe.
I know, but I don't know what day. I'm trying to remember what day because I heard Simmons' podcast and I heard Simmons say that he was 5 away from missing, and that was on Sunday night. So if he missed yesterday, that means he's at 4 away from not qualifying.
Right, well, so according to ESPN, his games played is 33, and the Sixers currently are, let's see, they played 39, they've played 45 games. So that means if he's playing tonight, that means he's missed 12. So he has 5. He can only miss 5 more.
I sent you the clip, Mike, if you want to check it out. It's an 8-second clip. It's a 8-second clip.
Okay.
It's a good. A full montage of every Joel Embiid highlight in Denver since 2019. It's him stretching.
uh, Oh, yeah. Hey, they checked him out. It didn't look like he was able to be functional. So it is what it is.
And then
Jokic,
I saw
Jokic just missed one game, by
Mike,
the way.
Did you see this one? It's him holding up the sign, but it said, I don't know if you can see my picture, but it's him holding up the sign, but they changed the 73 to DNP.
Ah, the good old Wilt 100 sign. Give me the original.
Yeah. Anyways, what a travesty. You know, he has a historic game, and then he magically gets hurt and can't play in Denver. What a joke. The NBA should fine the Sixers. Not only do they sit Embiid, but Maxey, Tobias Harris, like all those guys are sitting. Give me a break. You've been pumping it. I know this has been covered on other podcasts, but they were pumping this up as rivalry week and that this was a big game. It's not a rivalry if the one player doesn't show up. It's not a rivalry if like honestly, thank God. Thank God LeBron and Steph saved the damn day. I'm serious. Like, that game was fantastic. That was one of the best NBA games in a long, long time in the regular season. It brought me back to, like, when LeBron was on the Cavs. Like, it was a really, really good game. And those two teams are terrible, but it was just such a good game. And it was enjoyable.
There was a lot
to
of back and forth. There was a lot of back and forth. And obviously, Steph hit some huge shots, and then LeBron makes the two free throws to win that game. And
triple double with 20 rebounds. First time I didn't realize he never had 20 rebounds in a game before until that game.
I didn't realize that either. That seems almost impossible that he had never had 20 rebounds before. Like, when I heard that, I'm like, that's got to be wrong. But it turned out that it's not that's true. So,
and the impressive,
yeah, I don't just, know.
At 39 years old, too, Mike. I mean, by gosh, yeah. It's just another tally mark to the, oh, you're almost to Jordan, but you're not ever going to get there situation.
Yeah, like, it's staggering. Just, his counting stats and his longevity record, whatever you want to say, his legacy from a longevity standpoint is, it borders on ridiculous. I mean, Kareem and Malone are the two guys, Karl Malone are the two guys that are at least sniffing that ballpark, but to be
just
playing
the
at the level that LeBron is.
The consistency,
yeah,
playing, Mike.
And playing at the high level that he's playing.
You would even admit, like, Jordan's Wizards run was pitiful, right? Like, he had, like, a few games in there that were really good.
It wasn't pitiful. It was pitiful from a standpoint of the team around him was not very good. And
please tell me, why did he go to Washington? Why was that the team he chose? Was there a reason? Because I don't even know that.
Because if I'm not mistaken, he got part ownership of the Wizards as part of that deal. There was some,
and no NBA team that had like any legitimate wanted to do that. Like, that's crazy to me. Because the Wizards, listen, the fact that it was the Wizards, God Almighty,
yeah.
Ever since they did that, it's like they signed a deal with the devil because they haven't. I mean, they had a few good years, and they're now they're so pitiful. It's so pitiful.
They got a preview of Jordan as an owner, so it didn't go well in his stint in Charlotte.
Jordan got out before all the nonsense that's been going on in Charlotte. Did you see the clip of them laughing yesterday when their head coach got ejected from the game?
Yeah, I did
like
see
LaMelo
that.
LaMelo and the, like, come on, guys.
Well, there's some franchises that are serious franchises, and then there's some other franchises that are maybe not so serious. And I would put the Charlotte Hornets at this point into the not so serious camp. I don't think you can really take much of what's going on there, at least at this point, seriously in any way, shape or form, which obviously the players weren't either. So,
yeah, well, I mean, I know we're jumping around a lot here and we'll probably hone in on a specific topic like this, talking about being serious. Are we ready to say that the Cavs are back? Mike, are you ready to say the Cavs are back? Because I'm ready to say, I'm almost willing to say that they're back. And, like, I don't think, after watching the Bucks play us two straight games, and then what happened yesterday, a colossal meltdown. Did you see the tweet? Doc Rivers, first game back.
Already
getting ready for the
playoff.
Blowing a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter. I'm not saying that we can – we can pass the Bucks up. In we're 2.5 games behind the Bucks now. I'm not saying we will, but I'm saying we could. Because if we keep playing at the level that they're playing, and I understand, listen, you would theoretically think that we could only get better with Garland and Mobley being back. Theoretically, I understand that the style of play that we've played, it's going to be interesting to see if we're able to continue to play the way that we've played with them. But you would think Mobley's only going to help on the defensive end. Okay. And Garland's going to help on the offensive end as long as he doesn't turn the ball over. Like, you would think that the Cavs are going to get be better, right? Would you would have to think. I mean, I know some guys, like, so, I don't know that Kevin Porter Jr. gets to, or not Kevin Porter Jr. Oh, dear Lord. Sorry, Kevin. Craig Porter Jr. So not Kevin Porter Jr. Craig Porter Jr. Like, I know I don't know that his role is even going to be feasible anymore. Like, I don't. But I think everyone else, I mean, Okoro has been a revelation. I don't envy JB Bickerstaff working rotations back. I honestly don't, because Okoro has been playing so well. Merrill's been playing so well. Even Craig Porter Jr. has been playing well. The one positive from the Tristan Thompson situation is it definitely, maybe we're going to go small ball, Mike. I mean, Dean Wade playing the power forward when we need, like, it's Mobley, Allen, and then Dean Wade, and I guess Nyang has to play some of those, could theoretically play that position. And he did a little bit yesterday. Like, I just don't know how the rotations are going to work. But at the same time, like, if we're averaging 120 points a game, we're going to win games, because we're not going to let teams get to 120 very often. I just saying, I mean, it's pretty crazy. I don't know. What do you think, Mike? What's your Cavs take right now? Are you not ready to jump on the, we're back?
All right, well, let's start with the we're back. So I don't know what we're back. I guess it depends on how you define we're back. Are we back to the point where we should be battling for home court advantage in the first round? I think you can probably safely say that, yes, we're back to that level. But basically all you're doing then is you're going back to where the Cavs were at the beginning of the season, which is the regular season. It's nice, and it's not like the Cavs were a one or a two seed, but the way that they no-showed that series against the Knicks last year kind of makes what they do in the regular season to some degree, I don't want to say completely irrelevant, but to some degree, it's irrelevant. I don't care if they're a four seed, a five seed, a two seed, a three, whatever. The bottom line is that they're going to have to go in, and this team has to win a playoff series to justify what it is, right? Because when I think of, are they back? Yeah, they're back. I think as a regular season team, I feel pretty confident that they're certainly not going to fall any lower than fifth with as well as the Knicks are playing. And I think there's certainly a chance that they could get to two or maybe even three, but are they back as a playoff team? There's still a lot of questions that they are going to have to answer. Yep. The players are going to have to answer.
I want the current playoff standings to remain, Mike. You know, let me tell you what they are currently. Okay. Well, theoretically saying Miami, Orlando, Chicago, and Atlanta are the play-in teams. Okay.
Okay. All right.
We're just going to shoehorn the eighth and the seventh seed in, because Chicago and Atlanta don't deserve to be in the playoffs. So we're just going to shoehorn. We're going to say Orlando's the eighth seed. We're going to say Miami is the seventh seed. The playoffs would be Boston, Orlando. That would be a fun series. I think that would be a fun series. The youth of Orlando against Boston. I think that would be a fun series. Boston wins it, but I think it's a fun series. Milwaukee, Miami, rematch of last year's first round. We want that. Okay. Knicks Pacers. That would be a fun series. Right? Like
the historic Knicks, Reggie Miller, Spike Lee. Yeah.
Well, the pace of play the Pacers play. And what does that leave us with? Joel Embiid and the 76ers. And I would take our chances against the 76ers. And after tonight we're gonna be ahead of them. I give us a chance against Philadelphia. I give us a chance against any team if we show up. But like, I like all four of those matchups are good matchups. I really do. I think those are all four good matchups.
Yeah, I agree. Those would be fun series. Each of those would be fun series. And Boston would kill Orlando, but it'd be fun to see Orlando in there. Miami and Milwaukee, who knows? I mean, clearly Miami, are they sandbagging it right now, losing seven in a row, and they could turn it around, or is this team headed completely in the wrong direction? I think you could probably make a pretty compelling case either way. And then Cavs, Sixers. I mean, you said the Cavs are going to play the Sixers and Embiid. I would just leave it that maybe they're just going to play the Sixers, and Embiid's availability remains to be seen. And so, I think the Cavs, what happened last year, you got to believe, you got to hope as a Cavs fan that it was an anomaly. Clearly, when you bring back two guys who are two of your four best players, however you want to splice it out, you're adding more talent. And ultimately, in the league, I think talent wins. So now it's up to JB Bickerstaff to figure out, how do I continue to maintain the momentum of what we've built while those two guys were out, and then reinsert two more talented players in the place of guys who had been playing previously and continue to get the same results? How do you do that? Do you stagger more of the Jared Allen, Evan Mobley minutes so they don't play together nearly as much? They each get their 24 minutes, and then maybe they play 8 minutes together. So
Jared Allen an all-star, Mike? Is Jared Allen going to get into the all-star? Is he going to slide in? Is he going to be like the last guy in? I mean, he's got 15 double-doubles in a row.
I think he's an injury replacement candidate. I don't think he's going to get in.
So when Embiid has the runs, he's going to go slide right in?
When Embiid gets a hangnail, Jared Allen will be right there to fill in for him.
Yeah, okay.
Ably filling in for him. Look, I think you can make a pretty good case for Jared Allen being an all-star. I don't think he's going to make it. Although when you start thinking about who might get selected by the coaches, and you think about, okay, who's the guys that are in that last spot, you start thinking about, are the Celtics going to get two guys in, or are they going to get three, right? Is there a chance that Porzingis is that slot?
Yeah.
Bucks have two guys. If you're the Knicks, are you going to get Brunson and Randall both on the team? Is that a possibility?
Randall might make the team, but he's not going to play because he's hurt.
Right. He has a separated shoulder. So maybe there's your injury replacement, or maybe the coaches just don't select him because they already know prior to the selection that he's hurt. There's a lot of good candidates. I think it becomes a numbers game with Jared Allen, where I don't think the coaches will pick him. But he certainly is deserving. He has played in these last 15 to 20 games. I mean, he's been unbelievable. And we get to see him all the time. So I think we have an appreciation of what he does. Whereas nationally, I don't think he has that same reputation. So I don't know. So the first part of your question about are the Cavs back? I think they're back as a regular season contender for a top four seed. Are they back as where we might have thought of them last year at this point, where, hey, man, this team should definitely win a first-round series, and if things break right, maybe they get to the conference finals? Are they back to that level? I don't think we're going to get there until we see them play in the playoffs and come up a little bit bigger than what they came up last year. So that's the first part of it. And the second part of it is, what do you do as these two guys come back and you reinsert Mobley and Garland back into what has been a highly successful Cleveland Cavaliers team in their absence? And ultimately, I think, as I said earlier, I think talent ultimately wins in the league. And so clearly, by putting Garland and Mobley back in your lineup, you're replacing players who have less talent than what those two guys have. So then it becomes, to me, incumbent upon JB Bickerstaff to figure out, well, what does that look like? Do I have to jiggle my rotations in order to get those guys on the floor, each to get their minutes, but maybe we have to stagger them a little bit more, and maybe they each get three less minutes or four less minutes a game? How do you make sure that when you have Garland and Mitchell on the floor together, How do you make sure it's not a my turn, your turn? How do you take advantage of what Garland does well with as well as which Mitchell's been playing now and vice versa? So there's a lot of things to figure out, but it still goes back to kind of what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. When you think about the Cavs potentially making a trade, I think that despite what you might want to do or what might be smart in the long run, depending on what Donovan Mitchell does, ultimately, I think that Kobe Altman and Cavs management and the coaching staff, to me, I think they're going to want to see one more playoff run to see what they have. And they also, unless behind the scenes they have it, it doesn't appear that they have clarity about what Donovan Mitchell's intentions are in terms of signing an extension or in terms of being prepared to leave the Cavs when his contract expires. And so without that kind of clarity, it's really difficult to say, hey, we're going to keep Donovan Mitchell and build around him, and then we're going to trade off 21-year-old Evan Mobley or 23-year-old Darius Garland for pieces that we think fit better around Donovan Mitchell and then watch him walk out the door a year and a half from now. That's a hard pill to swallow. Yeah. So to me, I think the coaching staff has to figure out how can we keep doing what we're doing, but with two guys who have a different skill set than the players that they're going to be replacing, but clearly have more talent than the players they're going to be replacing. And so it's going to be a really, really interesting that the nice part about where the Cavs are sitting right now is, and I don't know what Garland's, what his return, have you heard a return date? I still don't think
tomorrow
put out when
tomorrow.
Oh, he's coming back tomorrow. Oh, he is coming back tomorrow.
Yeah, he's playing. That's okay. Why I said he's coming back tomorrow. That's why.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I missed that. So, all right. So he's coming back tomorrow. So
it's a perfect game. Listen, Mike, this is a perfect stretch to work him back in because this
that's
is
what
the
I'm
next,
about to say.
This is
right.
they're playing the Pistons tonight, tomorrow. They're playing the Grizzlies on Friday. They're playing the Spurs on Saturday. I think right. Is that accurate?
Yes.
The Spurs.
Yes.
And then Monday they play. The Kings.
Sacramento at home. Yeah, Sacramento at home, which, again, Sacramento's good, but that's a home game.
And we should have won it in Sacramento, right?
Right.
We should have won that game in Sacramento. So, like, this is the perfect time to work him back in. You know, Mobley, I thought he did a really good job working Mobley in. Mobley only played, I think, 20 minutes. He was on a minute restriction, and I don't know if Garland shouldn't be on the minute restriction because it's a jaw situation.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so.
But don't feel like you have to play him a whole lot. And then we play the Wizards next Wednesday. And then we play the Nets the day after that. I mean, and then we play the Raptors. My God, is our schedule terrible?
That's what I'm saying. The month of February is super light. You basically have two games against the Sixers. And that's pretty much.
Is the Kings the next best team we play?
Kings, and then you got one with Dallas at the end of the month, but that's a home game. So the Dallas is a home game.
Well,
you've got
okay.
one. You're
Will
just,
Luka
well,
play
road,
this
road
year
home.
At home? Will Luka play in Cleveland question. This time? The big,
I don't know.
Biggest Slovenian population in the country, and he's like sat out last year. He pulled an Embiid. He ducked it. How dare you, Luka?
Yeah, I think. Look, the Cavs at the end of February. They have an opportunity to really build up their record during this month because of the teams that they're playing. And I think we were at the same point again last year, right, where we got off to a really good start. Different start this year where we started slow and then the second half of the first half of the season. So the second quarter of the season this year, we played really well. Last year was kind of the opposite. The first quarter of the season, we played really well. I think we started out didn't we come out of the gate like 8-2 or 9-1 last year, something like that. And then really from there, it kind of tailed off in the second half. And there was all that talk of how last year the Cavs had the easiest schedule going forward. And there's that same conversation is out there this year.
I'm looking at March. I'm looking at March, man. Ooh, March is brutal. March is not a fun month, Mike. We play all the teams. All the teams but two games in the month of March, I think, are over. We play a Hornets twice, so three games. All the games in March are against teams over 500, except for three.
March is pretty brutal. A little difficult. So you got to get through and really build your record here in February. And look, the opportunity is there for them to do that. And this team probably is going to be in the 45 to 50 win category, depending on how things break out and how healthy they're able to remain and whether or not they can incorporate Mobley and Mobley and Garland back into what they've been able to build over the last 15 or 20 games. But the opportunity is there for the Cavs for sure. But to me, I still feel like they're in prove it in the playoffs mode as far as my looking at what they're doing. That's the main focus of what I'm seeing. Now, clearly I want them to win regular season games because it helps you with your seeding, gives you a better opportunity to win in the playoffs. But until this team wins a first round series,
do you have your folder, Mike? Do you have your folder handy?
I have it somewhere. I have it somewhere. Let me look for it.
I was just wondering. Well, here's what I was wondering. I was wondering, do we think the Cavs are getting to the number? Right now, 28-16. So they've played a little more than half the games. Are they getting to the number that we use to start?
Okay.
I
got it right here. So the over-under for the Cleveland Cavaliers was 50.5. So I took the over, you took the under.
They're at 28-16. Are they getting there? Are they getting to 50.5, Mike?
I mean, they're right there, right? I mean, they're tracking right on it. It's basically right on pace. So I don't know if they get there or not. I would bet they do. I mean, based on the way they played in this stretch, it's hard to foresee that they wouldn't get to 50. But 20 games ago, I think we'd have said there's no
11 games
at all.
11 games ago, I wouldn't have said. They were 18-15 11 games ago.
Yeah, Mike. Right. So had a nice stretch.
Yep. All right. Eastern Conference teams. What else do you want to talk about in the Eastern Conference, Mike? Anything that you want to specifically hit on?
Let's just hit on a couple quick things. I don't think we need to even talk about it really very much, but so let's just go with a yes or no answer here. The Bucks, Doc Rivers, does it make a material difference in any way, shape, or form? I agree. I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference. I don't see it vaulting Milwaukee up the standings past the Celtics. And to be honest, I don't see the Bucks. I think those projections that show the Cavs finishing ahead of the Bucks, I'm not sure I'm buying into that. I think when you get to the playoffs, just like with the Cavs, I know the Bucks have won a title, but the way that they've played this regular season, I don't anticipate there being a ton of change in terms of their results. Maybe there's some things that Doc Rivers can clean up defensively, but I don't know. I would say that in the regular season, to me, the answer to that question is no. Next question. Knicks. Are the Knicks going to finish in the top three in the East?
I mean, they got Taj Gibson back, so maybe. You saw they signed him, right? They signed him.
I did. Hey, why not? Why not? Keep him coming back. Tibbs will sign him as many times as he can. I'm going to say no.
No, I don't think they finish the top three. I think Philly or us are going to pass him.
Okay, Miami. Is Miami still any kind of a threat, or is this version of the Heat what they have right now, unless they make a big trade? Obviously, they already traded for Scary Terry, but is Miami have any chance? Do you fear Miami in any way?
I'm not saying no. I'm just not saying it. We did it 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago? Yeah, two years ago when I said Golden State, you laughed at me to the bank. I last said saying, I'm not saying Golden State's washed until Golden State's washed. I'm still not ready to say Golden State's washed, and they're in the 12th spot in the Western Conference because I don't want to jinx it. Two years ago, I jinxed it, and they ended up winning it all. So I'm not saying that Miami's washed yet, Mike.
Okay, I'm saying no. It's a no.
What, that they're washed or that
they're not. I'm out on Miami. I don't think Miami is a legitimate contender. I don't think Miami is a legitimate contender to win the Eastern Conference.
They were the 8th seed last year. They won the Eastern Conference, Mike.
Look, I know. I get it.
I'm just saying.
I just I'm just telling you, I'm out. I'm out on this. Okay. I'm out on this version of the Miami Heat.
Hey, coaches, we know you're invested in the next generation of athletes. So why not give them the star treatment this season with Game Changer? Introducing Game Changer, a free app that provides you with data to make strategic coaching decisions and to deliver memorable moments to your team and its fans. Engage your players, empower your coaching decisions, and give parents the thrill of watching every play unfold in real time this season. Download Game Changer now on iOS or Android. Game Changer equips your team with the tools they need to succeed. Download it today and make this season one for the books. Game Changer. Stream. Score. Connect. Learn more at gc.com/hoopheads. That's gc.com/hoopheads.
All right. So one more question from the Eastern Conference. Look at the bottom five teams: Nets, Raptors, Hornets, Wizards, Pistons. I'm giving you one guy off any of those teams to start your franchise with. What guy are you taking? It's a hard question.
Probably. I'm gonna go because of upside. Oh, God.
All right. This is going to be interesting because of upside. I'm curious. I'm curious now. You've piqued my interest.
It's between two players. I'm between Bridges from Brooklyn.
Okay.
Or Cade from Detroit.
Okay.
I'm going with Cade. I'm saying Cade. Okay. I think because he's young, he's been injured. I understand he's been injured. He's not really been dealt a good hand because the team is terrible.
Okay.
And is not. I mean, the team is terrible. He has nothing around him. The coach seemingly laughing all the way to the bank, like Monty Williams. No offense, Monty Williams, dude, but you're laughing. You're laughing all the way to the bank. You're not doing anything.
Yeah, I'm just
and like we've chronicled the fact like one of the Thompson twins and Jaden Ivey like has disappeared at times throughout the season, like not even getting playing time. Like, are they purposely sabotaging themselves? I mean, I don't know why you would purposely sabotage yourself. I mean, they do have their own pick. Okay. But this draft has been already charted as not very good. So it's not like I can't even tell you who the number one person is. I can tell you the number one person in 2 years, Cooper Flagg, right?
There
he's the guy in 2 years everyone's going to want. But
yeah, I have no idea who this
is. Bronny James, number one is Bronny James going to be in the – I mean, Bronny James isn't having a great year, but if the people are thinking that LeBron's going to come wherever Bronny is
– maybe.
Like
we talked about, at what point in the first round, if you think you have even a remotest shot of attracting LeBron to your franchise – at what point does it become worth it to take a chance on Bronny James?
I think after eight, like because the draft is so weak.
Wow, maybe.
I mean, if it guarantees you 2 years of LeBron, that means 2 years of sellouts, two years of media coverage.
Does it make sense for every team? Would every team, if you said, all right, from pick eight on, if you draft LeBron is coming to your franchise for 2 years.
Tell me jersey sales, attendance. You could even
is there any franchise that wouldn't do it? Is there a franchise that wouldn't do it? I'm sure there is, but
I don't think Detroit would do it.
No,
because I think LeBron would say, "Don't draft my son."
Maybe, but I'm just saying, if you knew LeBron was coming, like if it was just, hey, this is what I'm doing. I don't care. My son gets drafted. I'm going wherever he's going for 2 years. I think every franchise would probably do it. Now, again, depending on what you have to pay him, and there's obviously other things and factors that might go into it. But I think if you just look at it purely from, okay, add LeBron James to
listen,
team X, Y, or Z.
I'm going to tell you the team that would be the perfect team for it. The San Antonio Spurs.
Okay. Yeah. I could see that.
Draft Bronny. Put LeBron with Victor Wembanyama. Give me a break. Give me a break. That team automatically, is in the playoffs.
Okay.
They're in the playoffs. All right. Come on. You don't think they're in the playoffs?
I thought you had them in the finals. Yeah, that team next year. That team next year with Wembanyama and LeBron. Yeah, that's a playoff team.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Doesn't LeBron still have another year in his contract, though, because he signed a 2-year contract? Or does he have an opt-out for this year?
He's out. I think he's out after this year. I think he's out. I think he's a free agent at the end of this year.
Oh, no. I'm pretty sure he's a player option. Here, LeBron. This is really bad that we don't know this.
He could opt out, is what I'm saying, after this year. He's LeBron done after this year.
LeBron signed a 2-year guaranteed contract. Oh, he 24-25. He does have a opt out.
Yeah, see? So, all right.
Dude, he's opting out. He's opting out. Right. I mean, he's opting out of this crap. I don't care where he ends up. He's getting the hell out of Slay.
They couldn't.
He's getting out of
there. They couldn't.
He's going to go to the Clippers. It's the starting lineup of the Clippers is going to be Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James,
and James Harden.
What are we going to call that? Nicholas Batum.
No, you don't even need Batum. You got five superstars. You got all five superstars. What are you going to call that team? The super duper team?
Well, it might be the only way Harden wins a championship.
Let's put it this way. If you put that team together, I mean, you almost are – it's mandatory. You got to call up Carmelo and Chris Paul and try to just make a banana boat. See if you can get D-Wade to come out as assistant coach, something.
Can Shaq still play, you think?
Maybe. I don't know. He could. All right. So you pick Cade. I
forgot that was the topic we were talking about, Mike. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. It's all right. So to me, there's three candidates. And LaMelo. For some reason, LaMelo, Cade, Scotty Barnes are the three.
Oh, I'm out on Scotty Barnes. Out.
You're out on Scotty Barnes. Out.
Oh, I'm not impressed.
Why?
Well, he stole Evan Mobley's rookie of the year. He stole his rookie of the year.
Defensively, what he brings to the table, he's much better on defense than Cade or LaMelo. I don't know if he's the same type of offensive hub. Can any of those guys be the best player on a really good team?
No. You did not tell me that it was mandatory that I win. You told me I picked.
I'm saying you're starting a franchise.
You want to attract people to come to your game. You're not going to be like, oh, I want Scotty Barnes. That's the guy that I want to start.
Then you don't want Kate Cunningham either. Then if all you want to do is attract people to your games, then there's only one choice.
It's LaMelo. Right.
LaMelo. Yeah. I mean, if that's the criteria, if you want to win, I think LaMelo drops a third. And then I think it becomes because I don't know if Scotty Barnes is ever going to be a guy, put the ball in his hands and he's going to average 30 a game for you.
No,
Cade Cunningham.
Mike.
I don't know that
This was the year for him to do that, Mike. This was the year for him to do him and Pat Siakam, and they had to trade Siakam because the team wasn't winning.
Right. Look, I know. I get that. I think, man, I don't know. I think I'd probably go with Cade too, but to me, Scotty Barnes would be a very, very close second. Somebody could talk me into Scotty Barnes.
I'm out on Scotty Barnes. I don't know.
All right, that's fine. All right,
Scotty doesn't know.
All right, Western Conference. Where do we go from here? What do you want to talk in the Western Conference?
Well, I don't know. You have any questions for the Western Conference? I like your rapid fire questions.
You like the question? Let me see if I can come up with three questions for each section of the current Western Conference standings. Okay, in the top six of the Western Conference, in the top six of the Western Conference, which team do you trust the least?
Oh, I'm going to take
you
the team.
You can define that however you want.
There's one answer.
Okay.
It's the Clippers.
Who's the answer?
Clippers. They've got Harden on their team. You saw what happened. Did you watch that game yesterday? He's flopping around like he's a dead fish on the sand multiple times. He just falls over And the refs called the one foul, and then like two or three straight times he just did it and they didn't call a foul. And I thought that his beard was going to catch on fire. He was so upset. Listen, I don't trust that Clippers team. Ty Lue's yelling, "That's a foul. That's a foul." Come on, Ty Lue. I like you a lot, Ty Lue. Come on, Ty Lue. Get over it. Give me a break. I trust that Clippers team the least out of those teams. And that's with Phoenix. That's with Phoenix having all their injuries that they've had. They've had all those injuries, and they've managed to weather a 27-20. And I know they're only a game out of the eighth seed, but I trust the Clippers the least. I'm sorry. I'm out. I can't. You got Westbrook and Harden. A clown show. Kawhi's played really, really well this year, though. I will say, like, he looked last night, he looked like the Kawhi of old, right? Like,
he looks very Kawhi-ish. Yeah, I agree.
But can he sustain it? I don't know. Can he sustain it? I don't know. I don't know. All right, Mike, what do you think?
The answer has to be the Clippers. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yes,
I think what cracks me up is that you still have a lot of national media when you listen to people talk and they're like, oh, the Clippers, this team's a legitimate title contender if all these guys can stay healthy. And I'm like, look, if Kawhi's healthy, yeah, he's probably still a top 5 to 7 player in the league. A healthy Paul George is probably a top 15 player in the league. But they've basically turned their team over to some degree to James Harden and put the ball in his hands. And I'm sorry, that formula in the playoffs is not going to work. Now, could those two guys basically marginalize James Harden and take over the ball handling role? Sure. But that's not the way they've played all year. And as we have said a million times, there is absolutely zero evidence that James Harden is going to produce for your team in the playoffs in any way, shape, or form resembling what he does for you in the regular season. And that's when he's happy. And who knows if he's going to be happy. I think there's a good chance, again, that he doesn't make the Western Conference All-Stars. In fact, I'll be surprised if he does. And that's kind of what set him off last year in Philly. Does that set him off again here with the Clippers? Because he wants to be able to force their hand and get them to sign him to a huge contract. I don't know. Look, the Clippers are the team. The Clippers are the team. All right, you ready for the second section? So we have the 7 through 10. Okay, 7 through 10. Here's my question. Which team in this group do you think will make a trade that will have a material impact on where they finish in the standings this season? So your options are the Mavericks, the Pelicans, the Lakers, the Jazz. All of these teams have compelling reasons why they might want to make a trade, or they have plenty of assets to make a trade, or they may want to go one direction or the other. All right, you tell me.
I think as much as you probably think I'm going to say the Lakers, and I think the Lakers are going to make a trade, but I don't necessarily know that it's going to change anything. I think the team is the Pelicans, Mike. I just think that they have the most assets that they could get aggressive if they wanted to. Now, and knowing that David Griffin is the GM also plays a role into that, because I think David Griffin is relatively aggressive when it comes to making trades. Do I know what the trade would be? No, but back in 2015, 2016, I don't think I would have told you that we were going to trade for Amon Shumper and J.R. Smith. I wouldn't have thought that that was even a thought, or whether I wouldn't know that I could say that that would have been a great move. But that made a material difference, right? That made a material difference for the Cavs season. Okay.
Absolutely.
I think that it's the Pelicans, because I just think that with the pedigree of David Griffin, with the assets that they have and the position that they're in, they are firmly locked into the top 8. There's no doubt in my mind, but they are also only 2 games out of the 5 spot. And, you know, they could be dangerous. So I think that's the team out of the 4 in the middle that makes the big trade that has an impact. And could I be wrong? Sure. We, whatever we need, whatever, whatever we say could be wrong. However, I think that's the most likely team to make a trade that's going to have a huge impact.
All right. If you are the Pelicans and you're trying to make a trade and upgrade your team for this year.
Yes.
Here are some candidates that you have to trade. Dyson Daniels, Jordan Hawkins. Are you thinking about at all trading Herb Jones? I think Herb Jones is an untouchable just because of what he brings defensively. I don't think you can trade. I've heard his name mentioned.
I'm not saying untouchable because I need to know what I'm getting back for him.
Okay, let me ask you this. Would you be more likely to want to give up, if you're the Pelicans, would you rather give up Herb Jones or would you rather give up Trey Murphy?
Well, that's a tough one. I think probably Trey Murphy. Because he's had way more injury history, right? He's had injury problems.
I think Trey Murphy, though, has a higher upside as a two-way. Trey Murphy can be a legit 20-point scorer in the NBA. Legit. Whereas I don't think Herb Jones ever gets there. Now, Herb Jones is probably a better defender. How much better than Trey Murphy? I don't know. At his peak, it'd be interesting to see what Trey Murphy brings to the table as a defender. Then your other candidate to be traded by the Pelicans is Jonas Valanciunas because he's making $15 million, and I believe he's an expiring contract. So you could also move him out the door. Look, any team out there, young team, veteran team, I think any team out there would be happy to have any of those five guys that I just mentioned. And then again, depending upon where you are in your team building process, you might lean, if you're really young, you might lean toward Daniels or Hawkins, two guys who are 20 and 21 years old. If you're a contender and you're ready to play right away, maybe you want Herb Jones, you want his defense. Maybe you're a team that is not quite there. Maybe you're in the middle of the pack and, hey, we can trade for Trey Murphy and now he becomes a guy that is a building block for us, one of our two, three main players. I think you're right that the Pelicans are probably the team that potentially could do the most to be able to impact their team. At the same time, man, what a quagmire trying to figure out what you're doing with that team when, look, Zion's been healthy to this point this year. He hasn't played nearly as well as he has in the past. Are him and Ingram the right duo that you want to keep together? Is there any way you could trade one of those two guys? I mean, I think there probably is. I don't see them doing that. But the Pelicans are certainly an interesting team as far as what they have, as far as what they have available to trade. Plus, again, we didn't even talk about all the different picks they have from way back in the Jrue Holiday trade.
When I said assets, like I was including those picks that I know
that's
that
what
they
I'm
have.
Saying. That's what I'm saying. I mean, they have the picks from the Anthony Davis trade. They still have some picks left over from the Jrue Holiday trade. So there's still things out there that they can use if they want to go out and acquire a player.
They are the process better version of the process, Mike, because they're competitive and they're – well, we didn't even talk about that, Mike. We didn't even talk about that. Ben Simmons return?
Yeah, triple-double.
No, he was
near triple-double.
Wow. There you go. That's all I want to say about that. Pretty impressive, right? He's back. Look, how many more games will he play?
I don't know. I don't know what to make of Ben Simmons. I don't know what to take seriously from him or not from him. I mean, I've been on record many years ago that Ben Simmons, I would have picked him over Embiid, which obviously was clearly, clearly wrong. But at the same time, the best version of Ben Simmons, which I don't think that guy exists anymore because mentally he's been broken as a free throw shooter and as a jump shooter. But the things that the guy can do at his size and his passing vision, if he could ever figure out the free throw situation and get over that mental hurdle to the point where he could go to the line and make 65% of his free throws and he could stay healthy with his back or whatever the issue is that he's battling, if he could stay healthy, and that's a lot of ifs thrown in there. But the bottom line is Ben Simmons is a talented basketball player who can do things to help your team. It's just a matter of the things that are affect him in ways that really, really impact how much of a factor he can be, especially late in games when he doesn't want to get fouled and he doesn't shoot jump shots. So for 44 minutes, he's probably a pretty good guy to have out there. Last 4 minutes, it becomes a lot dicier. Let's put it that way.
Yep. All right. What's the last question?
All right. So we're down in the bottom of the Western Conference. Last question here. If you look at these five teams 5 years from now, which one of these teams is going to be the best team out of
five years from now? I mean, it's got to be San Antonio, if depending on if they get more assets around Victor, right? I mean, that's what I'm going with. Because Steph's going to be Steph will be 40, basically.
Okay? So who is it not? Who's your number one not choice?
Crossing Portland off.
Interesting. You're not crossing off the Warriors 5 years from now. Steph's hanging on because he doesn't want to go to another franchise. So he's like 40. They just got out of Draymond's contract this summer when they signed Klay to a 4-year extension.
I don't think Draymond's on the team next year, Mike.
Okay. And he may very well not be, but
I'm going to be brazen here, Dad, Mike. I'm saying Draymond and Klay are both gone next year.
I know why you said that.
They're going to do a soft reboot.
I know why you said that.
Why?
Because your mind is focused and clear from taking Magic Mind tonight. And that's what's giving you the clarity to correctly predict that those two guys are not going to be on the team. So you want to make sure that you check out Magic Mind if you haven't. You've heard us talk about it the last couple of weeks on our NBA episodes, and I really feel like it's made a huge difference. We're recording right now at 12:25 a.m. Yeah. And we've been going for, I don't know, close to an hour. And I still feel like I'm on my game. Hey, I just came up with 6 questions right off the top of my head. I think we got everything. Well, actually, we didn't do the first 2 sections, right, of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the Eastern Conference.
A lot about those areas. But anyway, you want to make sure that you check out Magic Mind. And you can do that by going to magicmind.com/hoopheads. And you can use the code HOOPHEADS20 when you are looking to buy your Magic Mind. And join Jason and I to become even more focused and build your ability to concentrate for long stretches when you are working hard at whatever it is that you do. Just like we're working hard at podcasting and parenting and teaching and all the other things that we're doing. And I will say that since I started using Magic Mind, it has truly, truly helped my focus and concentration. So as Jason focused and concentrated and utilized his Magic Mind to come up with the idea that the Warriors...
Mike, I focused and concentrated last night because you know what I had to do this morning?
What'd you have to do?
I had to get up this morning and make my Disney dining reservations. So my wife and I... I'm going to Disney
dining.
For spring
where are you,
break.
Where are you dining at?
At Disney restaurants. We're going to Disney for spring break. You know this. I told you this already.
Oh, man. Come on.
So where I had to focus. At? I had to focus up. And we had to plan out our strategy to get the restaurants that we wanted to get for our trip to Disney.
Okay. Did you get them all? What restaurant are you going to?
We're going to a lot. We're going for a week, man. You get 60 days out, you could, from your first day, you could plan all the dining in the parks and stuff throughout the trip. And it's a whole process, Mike. It's a process that you don't want to be a part of. No, but you have to plan it out. You have to select where you're going to go, and you want to make sure you pick good times because you want to have times that are going to work for, you know, you want to try to avoid too early of a time because you want to hit the park when it's half empty still and people are still getting there. But you also want to get yourself a nice little air conditioner break in the hot hours. So you got to space them out nicely, and yeah, good stuff
All right, well, I'm glad you got a strategy, man. I'm happy for you.
Thanks. The Magic Mind helped me focus up last night to plan that out.
Well, good.
Luckily, I took it last night when my daughter decided that she was going to be up a lot last night. So
magicmind.com. use the code HOOPHEADS20 to get 20% off. So please check out Magic Mind. All right. So yeah, I agree. Golden State, to me, I think they're the candidate that is the one that, to me, they're going to be in the worst position. Although again, they're in San Francisco, glamour franchise at this point. Who knows? Maybe they just relock, restock, reload, and they move on. But I think you can make a case for all those other teams.
Bronny.
Maybe. Who knows, guys? I don't want to see that. I don't want to see LeBron in a Warriors uniform. I'll pass on that. I think you're probably right in saying that your initial thought that Portland maybe was the least likely. I think when you talk San Antonio, right, Wemby, potentially generational player. Memphis, 5 years from now, Ja is going to be 28, 29 years old.
In jail.
Theoretically. Yeah. So, I mean, could be. You could still have a guy who's potentially a top 10 player in the league. And then Houston got a lot of nice young pieces, a team that's heading in the right direction at least. Do they have anybody as good as Ja or Wembanyama? I don't think so.
They don't have a generational talent, Mike. They don't have a generational talent. They have a lot of good to great players, but
yes, they have a good foundation. They've got a nice, they're a team that, I mean, yeah. Sengun's probably their best player.
If only they would have traded for James Harden in the offseason.
Yeah, that would have been a great move. Yeah, let's kudos to Ime Udoka for quashing that as it came out. So I think Houston is still probably searching for the guy, but they certainly have a lot of peripheral talent that is pretty good. And 5 years from now, I know it's a long time away, but I think you got to just, you probably,
I'm going to be in my 40s, Victor. Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
I'm going to be in my 40s.
5 years from now, I'll be close to 60, man. I'm getting old. They will be, anyway, I think you put your money on Victor and move on, take the Spurs. So, all right. Anything else?
No, but I did just see something that I wanted to share with you. I don't know if you saw this today.
Okay, show it to me or say it to me, whatever.
Dak Prescott is not able to play in the Pro Bowl, so who replaced him?
Baker?
Your boy, Baker Mayfield, replacing him in the Pro Bowl.
It's fine. I got no problem with that. Just don't go for it on fourth down and kick the field goal, Dan Campbell. Kick the field goal, man. Just do it. Just do it. That's all I got to say.
Catch the ball.
Catch the ball, kick field goals. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I thought I was going to have a team to root for in the Super Bowl for the first time. Didn't happen, man. Didn't happen. My poor Detroit Lions. Oh, well. Anyway, all right, let's leave it there.
At least you get to see Taylor Swift all over the Super Bowl.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm almost as excited as Meredith, Jason. She's apoplectic.
Is she a Taylor Swift fan? Taylor Swift.
No. She's anti the most valuable bundler, anti Jake from State Farm, anti Mahomes, anti Andy Reid's mustache, anti Taylor Swift. She was rooting for the Ravens, man. She was rooting for the Ravens. I'm like, you can't root for the Ravens. She's like, no, I'm rooting for the Ravens.
I'm sending her a message on TikTok, terrible, since that's my only form of communication with her. I'm going to send her a message on TikTok and say, your dad just told me you rooted for the Ravens. I don't know that we can have any discussions ever again.
Yeah, it was bad. So she'll be rooting for the 49ers. How about that?
I have no problem with anyone rooting for either of these teams, to be honest with you. I don't have a disdain, hatred for anyone in either of these teams. I like Travis Kelce. I like the podcast. I listen to New Heights. I do listen to New Heights podcast. I enjoy their podcast. I don't really like Patrick Mahomes. I think he's a good player, and I really don't want the discourse to be, oh, he's better than Tom Brady and all that stuff that was already starting. I'm not happy about that, but I really don't have anything to root for. I like Andy Reid a lot. And then the 49ers, I don't have a problem with anyone in the 49ers. Like,
I just wanted the Lions to get in there.
They choked.
They did.
They
Brownsied.
Browns-ied.
They Brownsy.
That was a very Brownsy loss. Very Brownsy. Well, on that positive note, it's 12:33 a.m. Thank you for listening to this NBA episode of the Hoop Heads Podcast, and we will catch you on the next one. Thanks.
Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.